Well, good morning, everyone. Today is May 31st. Wow, can you believe it? We are into June already. Well, I'm sure most of you have heard the good news that our county is moving into the green phase on Friday, June 5th. And because that's happening, your church leadership is very excited to announce that we're going to be restarting church on June 7th. How exciting is that? I can't wait to see most of you who will be coming out, and I'm sure you feel the same way. It's almost going to feel like it feels like the first day of school when I was a little kid. I'm like all giddy. But we will be having our first service again on June 7th at 10:30. And we're going to have our children's classes and nursery during the service. There'll be no Sunday school as usual, like we always take a break for the summer of June, July, and August. Most of you will be getting a letter in the mail, or you can even check it out on our website, ccnafamily.org, and on there will be the precautionary measures that we'll be taking and what you can expect when you come into the church building. We just want to honor each other and care for those who have the more stricter opinions about social distancing. And so hope to see you there next Sunday in church for our reunion of sorts. And if for whatever reason you have concerns about gathering again, excuse me, please don't feel any shame about staying home or staying away from church for a while. We recognize that everybody has differing opinions and concerns. And for whatever reason, you're not ready yet. We just honor you and your decision that you're making. And we look forward to seeing you when you are ready. And so, June 7th, Sunday, June 7th, we'll be opening up church again. So today my message is on Pentecost, because today is Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. So I've entitled this message, Pentecost, No Problem. Pentecost. The reason it's called Pentecost is because penta is the prefix for five, and so 50 days after the Passover and the resurrection, or 50 days is 7 weeks, and then after 7 weeks, the next day would be 50. And so in the Old Testament, this was called the Festival of Weeks, or reaping, or first fruits. It was called Shavuot. Shavuot, and that actually means weeks, the festival of weeks, Shavuot. And it was a celebration of God's provision for his people and God's sustenance for his people. And so they celebrated that every year. And then as we come forward into the New Testament, we see Jesus celebrating all the feasts, and as the Jewish community did. And Jesus celebrated the Passover, which was the Last Supper, right before he gave his life on the cross as the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. But on the third day, he rose again, and he was with them for 40 days before he ascended on the Mount of Olives. And so in Acts chapter 1, I'm going to start reading from verse 3. And it says, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. 40 days. You know, in scripture, a lot of times there's different numbers and different that are significant that teach us various things. And 40 is a very significant number in the scriptures. But here it's significant because we're talking about Pentecost. And so Jesus rose from the dead, was with them for 40 days, and then he's going to tell them that they need to stay in Jerusalem until they receive the promise. And so verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me that John baptizes with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so verse 6, when he had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And verse 9, when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and the cloud took him out of sight. And so this is where we get Jesus being with them after the resurrection for 40 days. And then he told them, you know, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive power to be my witnesses, power from on high. And so we now are going to read the account where 10 days after that, so Jesus was with them for 40 days. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And so we know that they were in the upper room and they were praying and seeking God. And we know it was 10 days because now in chapter 2 of Acts, reading from verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, or the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and it divided tongues of fire appeared upon them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so here we know that the day of Pentecost is exactly 50 days after the Passover and the resurrection. And so with Jesus was with them for 40 days, we know that the Pentecost, as it said in verse 1, came 10 days later. We see that God fulfilling his promise and pouring out his Spirit upon his people, not the apostles, his people. There are 120 in that room and they all received the Holy Spirit. There wasn't a spiritual elite and the spiritual pauper. There wasn't the king and the pawns. Everyone that was in that room received the Holy Spirit. And so what an incredible continuity that the Word of God has, you know, in God's timetables, where we have the Old Testament showing us shadows and signs, and then they're fulfilled so beautifully and have the substance in the New Testament in Jesus. And so the Pentecost, the first fruit of that they celebrated in the Old Testament, was for God's provision and his sustenance of his people. And here we see that after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples in that upper room, that immediately they're now out in the street and people are asking, what's going on? We heard this incredible wind and now you guys look drunk. What's going on? And then Peter rises up and he says, this is what was promised from the prophet Joel, that I would pour out my Spirit in the last days upon all flesh. And your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. And so here after that message, 3,000 people got saved in one meeting. 3,000 people turned to the Lord. Wow, there was 120 that were faithful in that upper room. And now all of a sudden, boom, the first fruits of the New Testament Pentecost, the fulfillment, the substance of what it meant all these years. And now 3,000 people come to the Lord to follow him in just one moment. Do you remember when Jesus said to Peter when he was fishing, he said, Peter, I want to make you a fisher of men. And here's that fulfillment of it. And so back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I know those of us in our stream, and what I mean by our stream is the Pentecostal and the charismatic movement, you know, we like to think of the Holy Spirit coming upon us and the manifestations all being about the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues and prophecy and visions and dreams and all those things. But what he said was, and those are definitely important and they're included, but he said in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Witnesses. The word witness is actually martyr. My spirit, the power of my presence in you is going to make you a witness for me. It doesn't mean you're going to go witnessing. I'm not asking you just that you go witnessing. That's part of it. But I'm going to make you a witness. And we're witnesses of what? We're witnesses of the good news of the gospel, that we've been given that ministry of reconciliation, that God is for you. We get to tell everyone, God is for you. He's not against you. The opportunity is for whosoever calls. And we have that message that we get to tell everyone. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're at, where you've been. God is for you, not against you. And that God in Christ is reconciling the world to himself. And he's not counting your sins against you. Jesus has paid the price for the sins of the world. And so we're a witness to that good news, and we have the privilege of telling people that if you desire to call upon the name of the Lord and to be his child and to come into relationship with him, he's made a way. And so that's one area that we're a witness of. Another witness that we're a witness that we bear of is that his presence in the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we recognize that God is in us, and that the world would see that his presence is in our lives and makes such an incredible difference. I've been talking about that series, The Chosen, and I've been plugging that for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to put another line in there that I heard from, it was Mary Magdalene, when Nicodemus came up to her and he said, what's different? You were demon possessed, but now you're not. Can you tell me? And she couldn't answer any of the questions yet because she didn't really know anything about Jesus. But this is what she said. She said, all I can tell you is before I was one way and now I'm very different. And what was in between was him. That's beautiful. All I can tell you is before I was one way, and now I'm very different, and what was in between was him. See, his presence in our lives does that. We're witnesses to the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of Pentecost poured out, his spirit poured out in our lives, and we're different because of him. We're new creatures in Christ. We're not changing from the outside in. We're being changed from the inside out. And so we're witnesses that God is for you. We're witnesses that his presence is in our lives. And we're also witnesses to the reality of Pentecost, is that we know and we celebrate God's provision and sustenance, just like in the Old Testament, in every area of our lives. And so in the same way as it was for that 120 in that upper room, we are witnesses to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that same power and presence that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in every believer, dwells in me and you. And so what that means is that nothing is impossible. What's impossible for God? Do you remember when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, what's impossible with man is not impossible with God. And so if God dwells in us, which he does, tell me what is impossible in our lives. We have the unlimited, infinite God himself that lives in you and me. And so the only restrictions we have really are we recognize that the restrictions we have are those that we put on God, because we think and have mindsets that, you know, put limitations on God and God moving in our lives and in our world, because we have limitations like time and space and matter. But God doesn't have those limitations, but we do. And we do that because we live in a world where we live completely in parallel with, you know, time and space and matter. That's a reality that we live in. We live in a body, and that's a part of this world. But we have to recognize that the one that lives in us isn't limited to those things. God is not limited to time and space and matter. And he doesn't need our permission to do what he wants to do and violate That sounds like a bad word. We call them miracles, or the cessation of time, space, and matter. God doesn't need our permission to do what he wants. He didn't need anyone's permission to pour out his spirit upon his disciples. He didn't need the permission to send the Lamb of God that was slain from before the foundations of the world. That's right. God had a plan before there was even a universe. God had a plan before there was time, space, and matter. And the plan was, is the Lamb of God would give his life for the sins of the world. And so God is outside of time. He's outside of space. He's outside of matter. And so we are witnesses to the greatness of our God. In the kingdom, we have no bondage to time, space, or matter. And so I'm just thinking of in 2 Peter 3:1, when Peter says, I want to stir you up. That's what I want this message to do. Pentecost, no problem. I want this message to stir you up, like Peter said, in your mind to remember. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said something similar. He said, I want to remind you of some things to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Because our God is not limited in any way. That should give us incredible peace that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what lack you may see in your life or anyone else's life, God does not need time, space, or matter to meet that need. He created the universes with just the breath and a word. He took dirt and he fashioned a man, and then he breathed the breath of life into us. What's impossible for God? Only the Most High can make something out of nothing and call things that aren't as though they are. And so Pentecost, we remember the God of our provision and our sustenance. And he's a father. And he doesn't need anything from us. And he doesn't need anything even from creation to do things and to provide things for us. He can create it or he can take things away. And so we have to come to him like a child. Remember, Jesus said you have to be like a child to enter into the kingdom. And so a child can use their imagination, and a child can just begin to think of things that are outside of the box and outside of the limitations that we place on ourselves and the restrictions we place on ourselves and God. You know, God created fire, but he also could make a fire that didn't burn a bush. That makes no sense. That's outside of the science of matter. You know, when something is on fire, it burns, it combusts, it starts to disintegrate. But no, God can make that bush burn without being burned. Same with the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fire when they looked at the king and they said, look, you can throw us in the fire, but we're not going to bow to your idol. And so they were thrown into the furnace. They were thrown into the fire. But the fire didn't burn them. Why? Because God is not limited by time, space, and matter. They came out of there, they didn't even smell like smoke. Our Father, he makes rain fall from the sky, and he can also stop it. But he can also make it rain bread to feed you. He led his children, the children of Israel, through the desert. A desert is a place that is not providing you anything. But God, our Father, he makes it rain bread every day and every night for them to feed them. That violates time, space, and matter. So no water, no problem. He can make water come out of a rock. He can make a rock your water fountain. No boat, no problem. The water can be his sidewalk. He said, come on, Peter, get out of your boat and join me. And Peter got out of his boat and joined God on the water. Wow. That violates time, space, and matter. But he did it. And then what did he do? He started looking at the waves and he said, wait, I can't do this. And he started to place the restrictions back on him. He started to think like an adult. And then he started to sink, and Jesus had mercy on him and grabbed him. You see, there's nothing is impossible with our God. Why do you have anxiety? What is concerning you that God can't move that mountain or God can't give you peace in that storm? No money, no problem. Peter, go fishing. And when you catch a fish, you're going to find 2 coins in that mouth of that fish for my temple tax and yours. No knowledge, no problem. He gives supernatural knowledge. Jesus knew what people were thinking before they even said it. He gives discernment. He gives you the ability to know things that you never even knew. No experience, no knowledge, no problem. He used people that were unlearned and uneducated to turn the world right side up. No food, no problem. He can multiply food at a molecular level. Hey, all we have is these five loaves and two fishes. No problem. Give them to Jesus. Let's think as a child. Let's feed 5,000 people plus women and children. What's concerning you today? Have peace. Have peace. Your Father is the one who is taking care of everything today. That's what a good father does. And so Pentecost brings to remembrance that he is our sustenance and our father. You know, he's called us to be witnesses. How are we going to do this? So who knows how we're going to do it? But he who started a good work in you, he'll complete it. No problem. You don't know what to say. He said he'll bring to remembrance the things that you have to say. No problem. How about no air to breathe? No problem. He'll give you air from a whale underneath the sea. That's what he did to Jonah. Can you imagine? He's underwater for 3 days. No, you die underwater after so many minutes. But he was under there for 3 days. No air, no problem. He let him breathe whale air. No travel plans, no problem. Philip, he's on his way down to Gaza. He sees the Ethiopian eunuch. He does what God tells him to do. And then he baptizes him. And then all of a sudden he comes up out of the water and then disappears. No, the Ethiopian eunuch doesn't see him anywhere. Why? He's in a new town. He's in Azotus. No chariot, no plane. Space didn't matter. Time didn't matter. Matter didn't matter. Why? Because God can do the impossible. No life, no problem. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. This is the reality. This is the truth that sets us free from the law of sin and death. Have peace. Peace be still. Weather issues, no problem. He speaks to storms. He's in that boat, and these professional fishermen, they're all worried about the dying, and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Why is Jesus asleep? Because he knows his Father is taking care of him. And then he speaks to the issue. This person who didn't know anything about fishing or anything about boating in their eyes, but he stands up and he speaks to the storm, peace be still. And they said, wow, even the wind and the waves obey him. David said it this way. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm in need of nothing. I'm provided for. I'm protected. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Paul said it this way, if God is for us, who can be against us? And if he didn't spare his own son, will he not freely give us all things? And so Pentecost, we're reminded of God's provision. We're reminded of his sustenance in our lives. Jesus said he's the vine, we're the branches. Without him, we can do nothing, but we are fed by his life. We are in him and he is in us. And so know that you have living within you the unlimited, boundaryless God who can do anything in you and through you and desires for us to express him to the world. And so as we enjoy this Pentecost Sunday, recognize that you are just as viable as the apostles, the disciples, those who are in the 100, all those 120 in the room. You're no different than them. God is not a respecter of persons. You have the same Holy Spirit that was poured out over 2,000 years ago, living inside you, and you're a new creation. And rivers of living water are flowing out of you. What area of life do you have to worry about that God cannot touch, that God cannot create, that God cannot change, that God cannot speak and bring forth whatever needs to be taken care of? And then Job said it this way, even if he chooses not to, even if he chooses to slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, naked I came into this world, naked I'll go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, there's such peace in that. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Pentecost, no problem. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is poured out that we might be witnesses. And as we go out in this world and we share the good news of Jesus and people begin to bow their hearts and the kingdom of God grows and grows and grows and God is glorified because God has all power and is sovereign. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the realities that we just heard. We thank you for the beautiful expression that your word teaches us about yourself. Lord, I know I can say along with that character, Mary Magdalene on that show, I was one way and now I'm different. And what was in between was you. I thank you so much that you took me where you found me. But you didn't leave me there and you changed me and you're working in our lives. You're working in our church family. You're working in our city. You're working in the nation. You're working in the world. We thank you that you are going to build your church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And so Father, today be glorified. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us eyes to see, to release us from the restrictions we place on you and one another and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord and looking forward to seeing you. Amen.